Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Push My Buttons Games podcast. We have a really good show today. We're going to talk about more oppressive workplaces in gaming. The EA Play announcement, some stuff from the State of Play, which is not EA Play, and some stuff on the new Harry Potter game coming out and the Halo series. TV series, but yeah, we'll get to that later. It's me, it's Luke. I'm here. Say hi, Panda Pet.
Hi, it's me. I have a cat. I have two cats. Less than I did have. Sorry, she yelled at me, so I'm trying to keep her quiet.
And Captain Platinum.
Hey everyone, Captain Platinum here.
The Dungeon Master.
Hi bitches, how's everyone doing? I'm off my crazy work schedule, which means I'm drinking tonight, and apparently, according to Chase, did someone say beefy, is what he says.
Did someone say beefy?
Yeah, he said, did someone say beefy?
Beefmaster Mike?
Beefmaster Mike.
Oh my god! I love that. Beefmaster.
I didn't understand anything you just said.
My brain devolved.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm finally de-stressing, and I had my first three-day weekend in probably for a long time. Hi, I'm back.
And we can exist in the same place at the same time. Uncanny Ryab.
I don't Hello. Believe it.
We are actually not the same person, even we though we not. Sound so similar.
100%. Even if you saw us in real life, it would be really hard to tell the difference.
Exactly. Yep. Just like you can't tell the difference between Mario and Luigi.
Which we still need to do that, by the way.
No! Did you guys hear? I sent it to the group. I don't know if it was real. It was probably not real, but I got really excited about the third hidden Mario brother.
Oh, Mario? the orange one?
Yeah, Pablo.
I like that.
There's a Pablo?
There's a Pablo!
I think it was like a fan theory, but I fully embrace this fan theory, and I want there to be a Pablo Mario.
Can I be Pablo?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I have the best mustache ever.
All right. So jumping into it, we got some more, you know, awesome gaming industry news. Yes, Moon Studios, the developer of Ori and the Blind Forest and the Will of the Wisps, is reportedly an oppressive workplace. So they've been labeled.
What workplace is it really?
I know, right?
So this workplace reportedly fosters an environment of bullying, racism, sexism, and screenshots shared in report the co-founders using slurs and racist jokes.
What workplace doesn't do that really?
Right? I dealt with that just this last week.
Well, mine doesn't, so I guess I'm lucky. Right. So Thomas, I think it's Mahler, and Grenady Kroll, who founded Moon Studios in 2010, are named
name
in...
someone Grenady?
Yeah, it's G-E... Gennady, maybe. G-E-N-N-A-D-I-Y. Gennady? Gennady? I don't know.
Gennady?
They're named in the allegations, accused of repeatedly being unprofessional in public work chats. Employees describe them using these channels to joke about penis sizes and killing Jews, as well as critiquing the work staff.
Are you serious?
Yes. Wow. The critique itself was apparently problematic, often being harsh and leading to crunch, which we've talked about before. So all this comes from a report by VentureBeat, with employees speaking out and sharing the workplace's chat logs with the publication. VentureBeat says that there was plenty of evidence of harsh language in the logs that it went through, and the the shares and screenshots in which Mahler cards someone the R word. And Kroll also writes to someone in the chat, nobody cares what you really think. In the most extreme example, Ma writes, Tyler is the only person who is aware of my devious plans to kill the Jews by making them work to death through the game development. VentureBeat says that the context of the chat was clearly intended to be received as a joke, but one that made the chat that but one made it into the chat that all the employees could read. These employees say that they were left with mental health problems as a result of their time at Moon Studios. Mahler and Kroll responded to the report, firmly denying the allegations. We are very proud of our history and making people happy, advancing their careers and contributing to their financial success. We wanted to foster a vibrant culture where our team thrives and delivers the very best work in our industry. We believe we have succeeded. On the subject of their language and work chats, they explain that they are both Jewish themselves. Like brothers, we sometimes argue and frequently tease each other. We have made jokes at our own expense about the differences in our backgrounds. And there may have been times that our teasing of each other has come off as insensitive and may have made others feel uncomfortable. And they say that they regret this. And so finally, on the issue of bullying, they refute the allegations. If at times we were brutally direct in our critiques and challenges, we're also genuine and vocal in our praise. So.
There is a clip from one of my favorite shows called Smiling Friends. And the whole concept of Smiling Friends is that the two main characters, each episode, they're tasked to make someone smile. And there is an episode where there are their nemesis, and they're called the Frowning Friends. And they are trying to make everybody frown. And there's a clip in there, and there's like a 13-second like segment of this particular episode where he's giving, essentially, it's a hate speech in front of this group of people. And then everyone's like cheering him on, like, yeah! And then he's like, and then we can finally eliminate all the Puerto Ricans on the planet! And then everyone's like, ah, whoa, what did he say? What? Right. And he's like, I mean, make everyone frown! And everyone's like, yeah! It reminds me of kind of like game studios generally and like their fan bases. Like the moment something bad happens, like someone saying, kill all the Jews, like everyone freezes for just a second, but then all of a sudden they pretend like they, you know, oh, sorry, we're sorry, we forgot right. that ever happened, and then they get cheered on again. But I have a friend who actually worked for that studio. His name is Nick Long. He doesn't mind me sharing his name. He worked there for, I think it was like 6 months, and then he quit. And he said, I didn't want to talk about why I quit, but ever since this article came out, that was the exact reason. All those reasons are exactly the reason why I left. So it's definitely a thing. And holy hell, that's really bad.
Yeah. It's especially. Do you think there's going to be more light shed on this to game studios since the whole Blizzard thing? Basically, a giant spotlight on that.
I think people are going to be less afraid to whistleblow because in doing so, they will garner support faster and more swiftly. Whereas before the whole Blizzard thing, it was always a gamble. It was always a risk. There was always that threat of you will never work in this industry ever again because studios will talk. But since Blizzard has come out, these allegations, I believe, are being taken more seriously. And in the event that they don't, they get really bad press. And it turns out to be really bad.
Especially for a smaller studio. Blizzard is a giant. Studios is not
the
Blizzard.
Legal troubles. They can afford the legal troubles. Smaller studios, they can't afford those legal troubles. And so I think if allegations come out, they're going to be taken very seriously, and it can really sink those studios. And if those studios are scumbags, like apparently this one is, then I wish the developers the best, but God's love has limits for trash like that. So I think that is, yeah, I've got strong feelings that I have listed on this podcast time and time again.
What do y'all else think? dead silence.
Yeah.
Jamie, Panda, it's, Ryan.
it's sad that this stuff is just keeps happening. Is it this movement where we have to have everything now documented that this is all happening? I mean, if it's happening, it should be stopped. And probably the way to stop it is to document it. But mm-hmm. at what point is it over, you know, and how long far back do we go? I don't want anybody to be oppressed at work either, you know?
To me, it's something that's been in our culture for so long and seen as the norm for so long that people are, like, finally noticing it, and people are like, no, this is not okay. Like, we need to be aware of this. So, I mean, it sucks that things come out like this and that people are put in a bad light whether or not they're actually a good person. But they need to come out, you know, so I'm not going to feel bad for everybody. It's like, oh yeah, you were shitty. You were a shitty person. So stop being shitty. Learned your lesson, I guess.
I just don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Yeah.
Especially... Are you 3D printing a spaceship?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
I hope so.
Is it a Challenger?
What kind of 3D
printers are space shuttles?
What kind of 3D printing are you doing? Are you doing resin printing? Are you doing filament printing?
No, just filament printing. Okay. I'm printing a mount for a better mount for my Nest doorbell.
Cool.
Okay, so next, EA Play 2022 has been canceled.
Because they screwed up so bad. It's Battlefield. They do Battlefield, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they screwed up so bad on Battlefield.
So it says they won't be going ahead this year as the publisher is opting only to reveal projects when the time is right for each of them. That was a
In
quote.
In other words, we don't do an annual shit anymore.
Yep. EA has multiple projects rumored to be in development and has promised to share updates later on this year, but it seems like we'll be waiting until the summer to find out. So it was first revealed by IGN. EA's decision to cancel EA Play was apparently because things aren't lining up to show you everything on one date. Also a quote. It looks like they're adopting the Sony method of focusing on one game at a time. Although a number of publishers have been ducking out of this year's E3 as the event becomes less and less relevant as the years have gone by. Do you think that would you guys prefer something like that where we're getting game announcements instead of like publisher wide announcements?
Repeat that one more time, 'cause you kind of cut out for me.
So there, would you guys rather have them do their announcements and their like presentations on single games at a time? Or do you like we're Bethesda and these are all the games we're working on?
I don't know. I kind of like a one-time, like these are the projects we're working on. Like, hey, stay tuned. We'll keep you interested. You know, I like that. I'm going to say.
As a consumer, I think that probably I would prefer just, this is the game that we have. However, I understand why they're doing it that way, because they're like, we are a game studio and this is all the products that we make. And if you like this one, maybe you'll like this one. But as a consumer, just because that one likes this game doesn't mean that they're going to like this other game that they happen to make. Because especially so there are some studios that make different genres of games. Like Bethesda is mostly RPGs. So I get I like Bethesda as a studio. Therefore, I'm going to like Fallout and Skyrim and whatever else they make. So I get that, but I also, I don't know, as a consumer, you're like, I like this brand of game. I don't know how much that plays into this industry, but
I think it only really works for Nintendo, because Nintendo is a company that, like, they're also a first party developer. And when they do their Nintendo Plays, like, I think it works, or their Nintendo Directs, what they're called.
Yep.
That works. And it's normally whenever there's a Nintendo Direct that's announced, you know something's coming out within 6 to 8 months, right? Because Nintendo was the first one that started this whole thing. But you touch on a subject of, like, if EA did something like that, I don't really like EA's branding. I may like one of their games. right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really care about EA as a company. I kind of just want them to fail because FIFA is doing horribly in Europe now. and that's all I really care about. And they're never going to talk about that. So I don't really care too much about like the brand. I care more about, I guess, groupings of games, certain groupings of games, and that mm-hmm. can go across multiple publishers. So I don't know. I miss the old days of like E3 when I was in high school, and I was like, I'm going to make right. it to E3 someday because it was a press only event, and right. then I missed it because then E3 is pretty much a shell of its former self, and it's not really worth going to anymore.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the one thing. Like, I like the in-depth deep dives on games. I hate the here's the logo for the game. Moving yeah, on. Well, like, I don't like that, but I
that's
do.
That's a teaser for a teaser.
Right, right. But I do like the pageantry of the event of E3. Like, that's what I like. I miss that. Like, the awkward developers on stage trying to crack jokes. That is like my favorite thing because of the cringe. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, just borderline sexually inappropriate Todd Howard coming out. Like, I miss that so much. Because you're like, what's he going to say?
I like to, on occasion, go on YouTube and watch some of those old ones. Just, like now, some companies are kind of, like, understanding, and they embrace that they're going to be awkward. Case in point, Final Fantasy XIV's Lahi video.
Mm-hmm.
Which... like, that was great, but I like to go on to the super, like, really bad ones before they were even aware. Like, was that the Ubisoft one where the guy kept on saying that's like poop on a toothbrush or something?
Yeah, something like that. And it's like, without E3, we don't have Reggie Fils-Aimé coming out there and saying, my body is ready.
I know.
We don't have that in the pop culture without that.
Speaking of which, game news... with him, mm-hmm. he left the board of directors for GameStop.
Yep,
which is the job that he left Nintendo for.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why on earth you would leave being, because he was beloved in Nintendo North America.
But I mean, now we have a Bowser. So
now we have a Bowser.
We got
Bowser. But I think Reggie kind of had more of a presence than Bowser.
Oh, definitely.
But he left Nintendo to work on the board of directors for GameStop. And 1 year later, he leaves GameStop. And his reasons were, I want to see GameStop's vision for how they want to get out of this slump that they're in. And they never share it because they're afraid the idea is going to get stolen. And that's just not acceptable for a board of directors, so I left. Right. And then they came out and said, no, he's absolutely right. We're not sharing it because we don't want it to get stolen, but that vision exists. And I think there's like NFT integration in there somewhere.
It's them with a sheet in front of their thing. Oh, guys, you're really going to love this. You're going to love it. What is it? No, I'm not going to show you.
Yeah.
But it's good. Like, just trust us. It's so good.
Yeah, I don't. It's just really lame. So, but yeah, that's another piece of video game news that happened this week.
Jamie, what did you think about the single game versus
when you get to a point with, if you have a big enough game, it's nice. Like, it was kind of cool to see the Horizon Forbidden West video. The collaboration to show me a little bit more of what's going on when I, you know, for like the next 6 months, here's what I'm coming is also nice, right? It's here's what I have in the pipeline, right? That is like the road ahead is what I would call it. Here's things you guys can expect coming this year. I do enjoy that. And like you said, the pageantry of E3 is awesome. I was also in that boat, Mike, of I'm like, someday I'm going to go to E3. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not happening. So.
All right. Pat, the next bit of news is for you. So it's been a while since we've heard anything from the live action Resident Evil series coming to Netflix. Mm. And that was back in December. But the release date was finally released of July 14th.
It's weird because it's like all this is July 14th. Nothing else.
Yeah, no, they've been, they either don't have anything to show or they're just playing it really close to the vest. Yeah, but are you excited for it?
I'm very excited. So they had the teaser trailer and they announced a bunch of the actors. The description is a little weird and it's a little concerning because they're like making up people. I did hear from a fan that I'm not sure how fan they are, that he was disappointed that maybe I'm wrong. I think it was that the one of the characters, the nationality was changed, and he was disappointed by that. But yeah, so they're like making up characters to bring into the storyline. It's the Resident Evil storyline. I'm gonna love it no matter what because I love the idea of like bio warfare and you know how we can just murder everybody really simply. But I don't know. I'm worried. I don't know. I feel like it may be premature. They haven't given us anything, and it might be premature because that's only what 5 months away.
Do you like that it's a show and not a movie?
Yes, because if it goes well with the whole, like, the way people are with Netflix, they're just going to be like, yay, it's finally something good. We love it. We're going to keep it going. Or they're going to be like, you did shit. Do again. And then it won't continue.
See, I feel like Netflix, now that they don't have the superhero thing anymore, with all the DC stuff over on HBO and now all the Netflix stuff over on
Disney Plus,
yeah. They're now turning to video games because we're also getting the Sonic the Hedgehog series that is going to be coming out on Netflix.
I mean, I like it. Like, if they can do it, they should keep it up. But if Cowboy Bebop doesn't come back, then what's the fucking point? They're just going to do one season and then be like, no, we didn't do a good enough job. There wasn't enough likes. I'm just going to be like, I don't want Netflix grabbing any of my properties that I like. Mm. They're not going to keep it going.
What are you?
So you would rather have zero seasons than one season?
Yeah. Well, yes. I don't know. Maybe. I know that there's problems with the cowboy. See, and that's the thing is, like, I like most things. There's rarely things that I'm like, oh, they did a horrible job and they totally freaking ruined it. Making up characters usually ruins it, so it's probably going to be terrible. But I do like the idea of it being out there because at least then it could possibly be picked up by someone else and it could be done better. I guess. So yes, I would like them to do it, but I'm apprehensive.
Okay. What do the rest of you guys think about the show?
I'm all for content. I'm all for TV shows. I like it. Even, I mean, it sucks that if we only get one season and then they leave it on a cliffhanger and whatever, but I still think that one season is better than no seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, I am hoping that, I mean, like with a season, there's a higher chance of them kind of sticking to source material. But at the same time, I don't really mind changes in source material as long as it serves the story. I didn't see the last Resident Evil movie, but from what I understand, it was kind of a disappointment.
I don't know why. It follows the book really closely.
There's someone that I follow on Twitter and YouTube. Her name is Sphere Hunter. Uh-huh. She is a major, like, Devil May Cry, Resident Evil, kind of like a Capcom fan in general. And she talked, she went with, like, a bunch of other Resident Evil fans to go see the movie, and she was extremely disappointed with it. I haven't seen, like, her reasons, but she didn't like it. And she's generally, at least in my opinion, is that she generally likes all Resident Evil content.
Okay, so that's the real question is how does she feel about the, you know, multiverse movies that Mila Jovovich did?
I think she says that she felt that those are different enough to where she can, like, separate them in her head. But it was almost like it was, I think one of her phrases was, it seemed like it was made, by people who, I guess, didn't understand the games, but they had a consultant who did. And so there's a lot of, like, eye winky stuff in the movie in it. But,
oh,
like, the story.
Like, here, we put that in there for you guys.
I don't know. I need to see it.
Maybe.
But
know.
She didn't like it. Anyway, so my point that I'm trying to make is that with a series, I feel like, first off, I like Resident Evil, the games. I haven't really watched the movies. But I enjoy the games, and if this is even just similar to the games, and it's a series, I feel like series like the series quality has gotten to movie level at this point. And I would just love to see zombies, and I want to see the tyrants. There aren't enough tyrant monsters in Resident Evil, and I want to see more of them.
Yes.
Okay, Jamie.
Yes, sir.
You watched the PlayStation State of Play showcase?
I skimmed it, yes.
Did you see the stuff about Hogwarts Legacy?
I just saw that article that you sent today. I didn't watch the one yesterday. I've been too busy.
I believe we've talked about it before. Have you guys seen any gameplay of the Hogwarts Legacy?
So today I watched a video. It was like a 14-minute video. It had gameplay and cinematic trailer in it. And it looks freaking sweet. Like, it looks hard. Because I have a feeling they're going to do, like, for the Switch, they're going to do it where you have to, like, wiggle your fucking controller around. And that's going to piss me off. But otherwise, like some of the... I don't know. I worry because it's like the Star Wars game that we always needed but didn't ever get... Which was like, you know, what are those ones that are called that are not canon? That was like the best thing. And then
the
now
Knights of the Old Republic? The older ones?
Yes. Yes. And I feel like this one has so much potential. I really hope they don't fuck it up, but it looks amazing. Like, I'm excited as shit. You're going to make your own wizard. you get to come up with like spells that even the teachers don't know about. Like, you get to dabble in unknown magic to fight off the bad guys and stuff. And then you get to do random school shit, which is also fun for me.
My boyfriend is super excited about it. He watched it today. I didn't watch it with him, but he watched it, and he was very excited.
Yeah, I feel like he's like, target audience.
He is the target audience for this.
I think it's awesome, and I really, really hope he has a good time with it.
Did your wife watch it, Luke?
No, she hasn't yet. But also, target audience.
Yes.
Right there. But there's a thing in it that some people are having a little bit of an issue with. So they said it looks like it will include mobile-style game timers, which forces players to wait to upgrade materials and potions and ingredients. And what happens is you can either wait or you can pay to speed it up with transactions. But because in the trailer, you see the player starts growing a bunch of materials for potions, and each one shortly is accompanied by a 25-minute long timer for the plant to grow. But the developer, Avalanche, came up and they said that it won't contain any microtransactions. But that doesn't mean you won't use in-game currency to speed it up. I just don't understand the why you would have a 25-minute timer on like crafting, you know? What are your guys' thoughts?
I hate that. That sounds terrible. So terrible.
Yeah,
I won't.
Never been
if it is, yeah, if it is that, I'm not going to. Because I will get irritated and I will spend money, and I hate that. I won't buy it
if it's that long. I mean, because like, think about real-time strategy games where you have to go mine materials and then build something, and it takes a timer to build. Like, if it's something like that, and it kind of like that's part of the gameplay, I can see that. But if it's just wait time purposes, instead of like wait time, don't sit here and watch this, go do something else, and then like as you're constantly doing stuff and coming back to it. That would be fine, I think. But
I don't want to get to a point where like the only thing I can do is wait. Like I've gotten all the things, and then at one point in time, I'm just like, okay, I guess I gotta wait for stuff because I'm like too far ahead. You know, feeling like the overachiever kid in the classroom, you end up just getting bored.
Mike, you have anything on this one?
Ditto.
Okay. All right.
I think nobody likes that mechanic. Right. So that's going to probably ruin their sales.
But I do agree, like, if it feels natural in the game, right? Like, if it's like, okay, cool, I went and did this, and it's not like you have to wait for that timer to be able to do anything, then, because that's what the mobile thing is, right? It's like, you cannot progress unless you build this thing. You can either wait 2 days or you can pay money for it. But if it's like a thing you can do on the side, like, hey, I planted these potions, off to play the rest of the game. And then you, oh yeah, let me swing back and pick those potions up. And then that I think would be okay.
They do a little bit of that in like Arceus Legends, and I don't mind that.
Okay. Halo TV show news. So the Halo showrunner, Steve Kane, says that they didn't look at the game at all, when creating the show.
That's an excellent sign.
Yes. So it says, leading up to Paramount's Halo series, it was revealed that the show would have its own silver timeline, essentially allowing the show to diverge from the game and create its own canon and events without interfering with what has already happened.
Oh my.
As it turns out, the games weren't much of a concern for the team and didn't factor much into the production of the show. In an interview with Variety, Stephen Kane spoke about the creative process behind Paramount's take on Halo, revealing that they didn't look or think about the games. He said, "We didn't look at the games, we didn't talk about the games, we talked about the characters and the world, so I never felt limited by it being a game." Thoughts?
Why? I mean, why? What? You might as well just make, I mean, like, even the creator of the Castlevania Netflix show read the Wikipedia page. and they admitted that. They're like, no, we're not fans of the game, and that's fine. You don't have to be fans of the game. Like, and like the show, I mean, Castlevania 3 is a bare bones story, but they followed the main beats.
Right.
And then they fleshed it out, and then they threw in at least their own interpretation of Symphony of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, yeah, that worked. And they said all we did was we just read the Wikipedia page. We got the main story beats, and they looked at character art. They didn't play the game. They didn't. And I can see the advantage with doing something like that, like distancing yourself enough from the source material so that you have enough creative freedom, but you still have to understand what you are adapting, right? If they know nothing, I'm not a Halo fanboy. I'm not. I don't know very much about Halo. I do know there's fucking Master Chief. I know he's an icon.
Master Chief and Cortana.
I know there's a romance between him and his computer, right? Like, I think I do, but I don't know the general gist. If I made a Halo movie, it would be trash. And so it's like, you have to at least know what you are adapting. So for them to be like, I don't know anything about Halo because we didn't want to be restrained. It's like, it's going to be like the Doom movie all over again.
Mm. Or what about the Super Mario Brothers movie?
That movie is a gem.
Yeah, okay.
I still need to watch
Super
that all together.
I don't know why. I enjoyed it. I can watch.
Did you enjoy it just because of how bad it was, though?
No. When I was a kid, okay, it's like your view of Sonic, right?
Yes.
When Super Mario Brothers came out, I knew that looked nothing like Super Mario Brothers. But in my head, it was like, oh, it's still the Super Mario Brothers movie, and like anytime they said Koopa, like I freaked out, or because it was just confirmation, like it was just another rendition. And now for me, it's like an artistic interpretation. It's like a Picasso of something real. And
I still enjoy looking at it while realizing that the actors were drunk 100% of the time behind it. And I can't stop but thinking about that. So there's a whole, like, yeah, the Super Mario Brothers movie is a horrible adaptation, but I still kind of appreciate it.
I still remember when I bought the DVD not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago now, and I got it, and the guy ran it across the scanner, and he looked at it, and then he looked me dead in the eyes and went, nice.
Yeah, so it's like, but even then, there were the overalls, right? Then they had an explanation for their jumping. They like Yoshi was a little raptor. It was their
interpretation. The fungus.
So good.
Right? So it's like there was at least a cursory like knowledge of Mario. But the way how this article makes it sound like it's like, "Oh, we were just told the lore of Halo and we just thought, oh, that's a good idea for a screenplay."
Right.
Come on.
Right. Ryan, what do you think?
I worry that this is just going to be another, it's going to turn into another generic sci-fi alien beat-up movie a la Starship Troopers that has the Halo label slapped onto it. That's my concern, but especially if they're like, we didn't even know there was a game that existed before we started making this movie.
This is a game? That's why Microsoft was giving us money. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I want lore, because I really like the Halo story and I really like that background lore. And that is kind of the reason I play the games, because it's an interesting story. I really like it. And I want more of that. I don't want a parallel universe we're not going to pay attention to. We're just going to make up our own world and use these characters.
It's a silver timeline.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
You know what? I want a platinum timeline, damn it.
Jamie's like, I'm here.
Right. Jamie, go make this movie
in the platinum timeline. Ryan, if you haven't seen it, there is, the video from my favorite guy over at Polygon. He read all of the Halo novels.
You had me watch this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause if you like lore,
he also does the great job of the generic E3 presentation video, too. That is really good.
Yes, that makes... I watch it, like, even when it was online, I still watch that video.
As much as you watch Daredevil?
No, but I am halfway through season 2. It just became available on Wednesday, and I'm on season 2. I've got a problem. But okay, next. So a rare Snap Magikarp Pokemon card has just been sold for 5 million yen, which is $136,000 at a Japanese auction, making it one of the most expensive Pokemon cards ever. According to Nintendo Life, the reason why this card is so rare is that this particular Snap Magikarp is one of only 20 in existence. And then I was like, what the hell is a Snap Magikarp? So I looked it up. Back when Pokemon Snap launched for the 64, a competition was held which players submitted their favorite pictures of Pokemon in the game. There were 10 winners in all, each given a set of 20 Pokemon cards that featured their submitted Snap. Several different Pokemon have Snap cards, which include Bulbasaur, Articuno, Magikarp, and Pikachu. I want them to bring this back for the new Pokemon Snap game.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So my question for each of you guys, if you had a Pokemon that you found, like if you had a Pokemon that you would take a picture of, what Pokemon would it be? And would it be just like hanging out, or would it be doing something?
While you're thinking about that, an interesting thing about this card as well is that it's the only known copy of this card. Like, there's 20 of them, but this is the only one that they know of where it is. That's interesting to me.
The other are in some guy's basement.
That
the guy who ran the competition forgot to hand out the cards at the event. Charles.
What Pokemon would you guys choose to be able to take a picture of for your own personal card?
So I have a favorite Pokemon, and I love this Pokemon very much because he's very twitchy. And I am also twitchy. So, like, I would want to see him in, like, full, like, I would hope that it would be, like, at least moving, like, a little bit. So you can see, like, the twitchiness. Like you know, like a
like a holographic one where you turn it and he moves. Like,
yeah! One
and which one is it?
Sableye. The little purple goblin thing.
Sableye. He eats
rocks. he eats shiny rocks. Okay.
Captain Platinum, what's yours?
Oh, dude, the hard part is I'm such a G1 Pokemon trainer. Uh-huh. I don't know most of them.
Nothing wrong with that, because that's me as well.
You're going to be a Bulbasaur, because that's just who you are.
Listen, you don't know me.
It could also be... Yeah.
Are you sure?
You don't know me. Shut up. As he rapidly changes his answer.
Man, I like the dragons. I don't know if I'd go with Dragonite or Charizard because they're just. I like the dragons.
What would your Dragonite be doing in Captain Platinum's Pokemon Snap card?
Yo, he'd be holding Platinum trophies. All of my Platinum trophies.
just on a chain from his like a necklace.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Oh god. You guys see the weird like Dragonite dancing thing that's on the internet? I just get so uncomfortable when I see that. I'm like, what is he doing? It seems
Mike, perfect. What's yours?
Missing No.
And what would Missing No be doing?
It would be a Cthulhu type monster where you take a picture at it, but every picture that you take, the image is blurred, and something weird happens as you look on the picture. Like you'll see something moving out of the corner of your eye, but it wasn't really there. Things move around that you thought were one place, but actually turn out to be in another, and then you start to experience the mandala effect. Where, like, you start to, like, remember things one way, but they turn out to be a different way. And so when you play this Pokemon card, you get essentially schizophrenia, and that would be awesome. So, yeah, I would love
it. Just wants to cause mental illness with a Pokemon card.
Yeah, it's a funny story, actually. I was doing a Pokemon tabletop game with Chelsea from our friends at Chelsea and Noel Go to Hell, and Ichabod, my brother, and Michelle. And in the campaign, the antagonist was Missing No, who was corrupting Team Rocket to do what it wanted to do. And when I revealed it was Missing No, because I made it into a whole mystery thing, Chelsea and Ichabod were like, "What's Missing No?" And I freaked out. And I was like, "Oh, man." And so I had to send them like videos of people catching Missing No and the stuff that would happen to your game. And they're like, "Oh." So, yeah, I would get a card of Missing No.
What about you, Ryan?
The image that popped into my head as you were posing this question was Snorlax. But Snorlax, like, laying on top of another helpless Pokemon with them struggling to get out. Snorlax is taking a nap on top of him like he just fell over. Mm. And this other Pokemon struggling to try to get out from underneath him.
That's what I imagine. Squirtle.
Yeah, there you go.
He's like, "Help me!"
He'd be
oh,
like,
man.
Squirtle, squirt.
See, I am not going to change my answer because mine was a Bulbasaur.
Like, I'm like, if you're not going to pick Bulbasaur, you're going to pick Growlithe.
Yeah, but it's, yep. it's Bulbasaur getting belly rubs. And From he's Growlithe. Just the happiest little guy. He's so happy.
That you know, one of the unlikely friends, Bulbasaur and Growlithe.
Yeah, they're bros. On every Pokemon team I've ever put together. Last little bit of news. They revealed the poster for Sonic 2, and it is a good homage to the original Sonic 2 game. It's got the two with the little checkerboards on it. And it I'm so excited for this, guys. Not as giddy as I was for the first one, because I didn't know if it was going to suck or not. But knowing that it's probably not going to suck, and I at least can be like, well, the first one was really good. I have that to fall back on, but I am still really excited. I want to see Knuckles. I want to see Tails. I want to see Jim Carrey turned up to an 11 again. I'm ready for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
I still need to watch the first one.
How long do we have till it comes out?
April 8th.
Oh, wow.
Right around my birthday, too, so it's a great present.
Yeah, when are we going to go see it?
We're going to go see it on April 8th.
He means April 7th, because he will be at the earliest showing he can find.
If I can, I will be. But yeah, okay. Let's wrap up by talking about some of the games we've been playing. Ryan.
Yeah?
You can start.
So I finished... What was I playing last time I was on here? Probably, I don't know. It was like Vader Immortal. No, it was Skyward Sword. That's what it was. I finished Skyward Sword and I loved it. And now I am playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The biggest game I've ever played in my life.
So good.
I played literally all day yesterday.
Did you dangle from the penis? And,
oh, yes. That was one of the very first things I did.
Excellent.
And then the thing that she says, so I'm playing...
Cassandra,
thank
you. Yeah, she's awesome. Her voice is great.
Yeah. So I'm playing Cassandra, and I get up there, and she's like, I don't think I should be climbing on this.
Yep.
And I
Alexios says the same thing.
Oh, really?
It's awesome.
So I'm digging it. I like the story. I love Greek mythology and stuff like that. So these are probably some of my favorite Assassin's Creed games, because I love the Egyptian mythology. I love the Greek mythology. It's just so big.
Did you get the mythology pack?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, yes.
Yeah, this was my first dive, like, that I really dove into and played everything. Like, I beat that game. Like, I've never beaten an Assassin's Creed game before in my life. But this was the first one that I did, and I loved it. And I, like I've said before, the ability to not have to be sneaky boy, and you can just kick in a room and throw shit and light people on fire, because it's still stealth if there's no witnesses.
I like that there's different skill trees in this, and you can pick different abilities, and you can just be like, I don't want the assassin abilities. I'm going to be a warrior. I think that was that's neat. I like that.
Yes, I loved it. And the armor looks really cool, too.
Yeah. I got me the Pegasus, and that's super fun. And I actually got the Pegasus armor, and I was like, this is really pretty, and I really like it.
See, I ended up getting, it was like the Spartan War armor. And then I also got, there's a high level armor that's literally like what he's wearing on the cover of the game.
Oh,
but it's like a high level version of it. So it's, and I don't know. I like that. Like, Every Skyrim I've ever played, I always keep the costume of the guy on the cover, just because I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I always do that. So I was glad that they have that armor. And that was one of the only games that I really worked on crafting the armor, too, because I'm, again, anti-crafter. But I did in that game, like, or getting the stuff to upgrade the things and to find all the special pieces and stuff.
I find myself just crafting a whole bunch of arrows, because I use arrows a lot for some reason. I've been like, usually I'm like the sneaking around one, but this game I'm like, I'm just gonna shoot everybody from up here.
See, I do the warrior one, where they get the counter and then they're kind of stunned, and then I light them on fire with my fire sword.
Nice.
And I was like, yes, fire sword. Okay. Oh, hold on. We got a guy just busted in my room. Mike,
escapist,
what have you been playing?
Baby escapist.
So I finished Control. I finished the DLC, and I have completed Control. So in your face, Ryab, I finished a game.
You finished one. Good job. I am so proud of you.
Then I was like, okay, I gotta play Doom Eternal before I play Elden Ring.
And then you didn't.
And then I got to the second level of Doom, and I was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying myself because I had to be in a mood to do FPSs. I wasn't having fun because Elden Ring was staring me in the face. So then I just went and played Elden Ring.
And what do you think?
I love Elden Ring. Oh my gosh, it is such a
wonderful game.
it's difficult, but I like it. So it's commonly called Dark Souls mixed with Breath of the Wild. And
Breath of the Wild Souls.
Yes.
Elden.
I would disagree with that, but it kind of like I could see where people make the comparison. Like you can just kind of get out of the tutorial area and then just go in a direction and have like adventures. The game seems to like grinding is fun. In Dark Souls, really? Grinding pretty much meant you had to go down the same hallway a couple times, because the thing about Dark Souls was that the level design was so awesome that it seemed to be open world. It's just that the level design, it was so interconnected in such a way, but it really was a linear style game. You just didn't realize it because of how well the level was designed. And then when you take Dark Souls and you actually make it open world, it's kind of a crazy combination that works extremely well. And you just pick a direction and you just go. And then it's like, oh, this enemy, I could probably defeat him at my level, but it's going to take 50 deaths to do so. You know what? I'm going to go grind. And by grinding, you just walk in the opposite direction and just go through a different dungeon, a different adventure. And then you end up coming back to that later to finish the first dungeon that was giving you problems. And it's still difficult, but you realize like it's significantly less difficult than it was. But it's still Dark Souls difficulty. It's also the most accessible Souls game. They give you a lot of options for defeating bosses and enemies that you didn't have in Souls. For example, there is a summoning system where you can actually summon creatures to fight with you, and they can be a distraction to enemies. You can also summon characters, not necessarily players. Along with that, sometimes you'll just see a random summon symbol and it's a character in the game that in the game's lore has beef with the boss that you are fighting. And so you can summon a monster and then summon that character, and now you have two allies. And then if you summon like a player, you can have three allies to take on a boss. Or you can just take on the boss classic soul style one-on-one and get your ass handed to you a few times. Like it's definitely the most accessible Souls game. You also get your mount like within the first couple hours of the game, and your mount comes equipped with a double jump feature, which is something I've never seen before. But that makes accessible terrain like a whole other game. It's beautiful. Like it's just a really, really fun game.
So Mike, real quick on Elden Ring, saw a thing from GameSpot about, the modders already having their way with Elden Ring. They have replaced the dragon with, of course, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yep. Yes.
And there is what looks to be a boss fight of a knight or something on a horse with a giant axe that is now Shrek and Donkey. And the main character is Homer Simpson. So Homer Simpson is fighting Shrek and Donkey.
Yay!
I know exactly what that boss is. That boss is at the very beginning of the game, right after the tutorial area.
Are you in a swamp? Please tell me you're in a swamp.
There's a swamp nearby.
Okay, good.
And
you are talking to the first NPC, and the first NPC essentially sets you on the main quest, like the main quest. Kind of tells you, okay, this is the gist of everything. Here you go. And then, like, as you're talking to him in the valley, you see this armored knight just patrolling the valley beneath you. And you decide, okay, I'm going to try and fight him. And it is possible to fight him and beat him in the beginning of the game. It really is. But it's really difficult. So what the game kind of expects you to do is to go around him. Because it's open world, you can just walk around him. Or walk in a different direction altogether. You do not need to fight him. It's kind of like a check. Kind of like, hey, remember that really powerful enemy that you ran into at the beginning of the game? Why don't you go see how you fare up against him now? And it's a way of you measuring how strong and how good you've gotten as a player to go and eventually fight him. For that to be Shrek and Donkey is a different level of funny. It's like it's all over now. Like, yes, I can't wait to install that mod and check it out. It'd be great.
All right, Jamie, what you been playing?
I played a little bit more of Arceus, but very little. Mostly I've been focused on Horizon Zero Dawn, which platinum number 67 obtained.
Oh my god.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going through the Frozen Wilds now, which is the DLC. So,
what did you think of the main story?
I liked it. It was interesting. I felt bad I took breaks from it because other things came up that I really wanted to play. But once I got into it, it was fun to go through.
Mm-hmm. Panda Pat?
Me! Oh, I did play games. Okay, so I'm trying to get myself in the mood to, like, just do a bunch of research on Viking stuff. So I did some things, I read some things, and I decided to start playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So I started that. I'm not very far, because I don't know why, but Assassin's Creed games tend to, like, overwhelm me. Like, as I'm, like, getting into it, I'm like, oh my god, there's so much. And I always die. A lot. I don't know if that's normal. I haven't, like, played
Turn
a lot of
Turn down your difficulty.
Oh, does it? Well, I just do whatever it auto sets on.
Put it on baby-ass baby mode. It's fine.
Yeah, you can set it on, like, there's, like, a story mode or just easy or whatever.
Well,
and
that's
will...
what I did. I did the story mode. Is that one the easy one or not?
Oh, yeah, that should be the easy one.
I thought I picked the easiest one, and I still died like two or three times, just because I'm not very good with crowds, but I'm like normally the person who like just runs in and crowd chops because I think I'm faster than everybody, but then they hit me with their axe twice and I'm dead. I don't know, but I like it. I'm really excited because I get to play a chick, and you know, I mean, I'm gonna be happy mm-hmm. if I get to play a chick no matter what, so...
Which did you choose? Did you choose the male, female, or let the animus decide?
I did the female. I didn't want to have the possibility of not being a female because I would have just then started it over. That's kind of why like I opted for this one because I knew I had the option. I know I have the option in Odyssey as well, and that's another one that I picked up because of that option. But I
The let the animus decide isn't like it randomly generates for you. It does something that's story specific, which I think is awesome.
So it's like you're not going to tell me because it spoiled it?
I don't know myself exactly. I have a theory, but I don't know. I don't know myself. I just read a little bit about what does this mean, and it's like it's not like it's randomly picking male or female for you. It's your gender changes throughout the story in certain sections as
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool idea. And then I am still playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 because, you know, why not? I did officially beat it once, and then I officially beat it a second time, so I'm very proud of myself. I did it by myself the second... Well, mostly by myself the second time. I only had a little bit of help. I did have a lot of help the first time.
Yeah. Cyclops is fun.
Cyclops is fun. So... And then there was something else. Oh, I bought Mario and Rabbids for Mario Day. I haven't played it yet, but I don't know if you guys have watched the trailer for that game, but it looks fun. Like, I'm excited to create some fucking chaos in the Mario universe. Like, it's going to be the best.
That's awesome.
My
I also still continued to play Ultimate Alliance, just doing the grindy part of the game to try and get my characters level really, really high, because max level is 300 for some ungodly reason. But so I've been working on that so I can kind of go through, because they have the Infinity Rifts that allow you to get different costumes for the characters. And I love that kind of shit. So now I'm like, oh, great. Now I got to do this. But I'm just grinding to make sure my characters are leveled all the way up as high as I can get them. And then go through and do all of them. So I'm not having to stop and do the grinding in between. I can just go through and just do it. But I have also been playing, I got the, because it was $7.99 on sale, I got the Avengers game that I know Jamie's played. And I don't dislike it so far. I've been having a very good time running around as Kamala. It's been actually pretty cool. Like the character models on the PS5 look okay. Thor's cape does whatever the fuck it wants. But other than that, like there's a little bit of a cape that kind of drapes around the front of him, kind of like some of the armor in Assassin's Creed. And he turns and that thing is just flapping in the wind. And there's nothing else moving other than that little bit of cloth on his chest. So that's kind of distracting at times, but I haven't played too much into it. I got to the part where I'm running around as the Hulk and smashing things, which is fun. The second time, because there's a big intro to the game where you get to play each of the characters, and it kind of shows you their different play styles. I like Thor the most. Just his play style is more my kind of play style. And then Hulk's really fun too, but we didn't have a Nerd Dome podcast this week, but I was just talking about Kamala Khan, and we got the trailer for the Ms. Marvel TV show that came out.
Oh, that's a TV show? I thought that was a movie.
No, it's a TV show. And Ryan, have you seen the trailer for it?
I didn't watch it yet.
Okay, they kind of give her kind of a different power set than
really?
Than the game than the comics. They kind of hint at the Terrigen Mist because they kind of show a cloud, but they also show her put on these like bracelet things that are like cosmic powered, and basically she does the big punch, but it's a giant cosmic fist, not her actual hand coming out.
I looked at a lot of the comments, and a lot of the comments were like, this is gonna make Miss Marvel seem like a good movie, this is gonna be so horrible, I'm already gonna skip this one. And I'm just like, why? And it's because the power change.
So this is my theory on it, right? Her power set is very, very, very similar to Mr. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Marvel just got the rights to make Fantastic Four movies. So they do not want to have two cinematic universe heroes with the exact same power set.
Then pick a different character.
So, but I mean, Ms. Marvel is a very popular character, and I understand that, but, and I'm going to watch it. It looks good. Visually it looks awesome because like her little cosmic power things is kind of like a crystalline purple blue color. And it looks pretty cool. I'm going to wait to see what they actually do with it before I make my full judgment on it, but...
So does it look more like what you would imagine armor to be, or does it look like Green Lantern?
People are calling it MCU's Green Lantern.
Yeah, like she can make... but they also... Yeah, so it looks like she does use it mostly for what... Like she uses the cosmic stretchy arm and the cosmic stretchy leg and stuff instead of just being stretchy leg and also growing big and growing small. She does that too. But and it's the trailer,
all like energy, right? None of it's actually her.
It's kind it kind of looks like it could be a mix of both. I don't know. You'll have to watch the trailer and kind of see, because again, it's only a trailer too, so we don't know.
Okay.
100%, but yeah, I was hoping that you guys had seen it.
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't care that her powers are changed, honestly. There were people that were commenting about stuff like their powers, yeah, they may be similar to Mr. Fantastic, but like there should have been a scene in the show of Mr. Fantastic being there and be like, this is the difference between your powers and my powers. And that could have been like a great world building mm-hmm. moment. And I'm like, you guys are
having fun, like,
well, I don't like, see any situation where the two of them would be together.
Well, yeah. Also, they haven't introduced the Fantastic Four yet. That's really the biggest thing in it.
So I like it. I like the presentation, and I really enjoyed the music. I actually really like the fact that she's like a nerdy,
an actual
girl.
Teenager too,
like a natural teenager who just daydreams all the time about being a superhero, which is exactly what I did. But the fact that she's Muslim and she is on mm-hmm. screen, and you see her like in like the mosque, like doing her Muslim thing, and it's like
mm-hmm.
that's really cool because yeah. there are 2 billion Muslims in the world. I know a lot of them. They should be represented, mm-hmm. and it was just cool to see like a young right. teenage girl, just kind of like daydream and just dream big, and now she's it, and she's got to grow. It's just mm-hmm. it just seems like a really good story, a coming of age story that I want to participate with.
Will they bring more Inhumans into the universe? Do you think?
See, that's the thing. I think that's all. Like, I don't know if they're. Because they have Inhumans in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe.
They also had an entire funny. Inhumans show.
Yeah, that well. Everyone forgot about.
No story left behind.
I don't forget about it. I love Medusa. I don't like that they
got
her.
The hair. The hair and that.
The whole point of her was the hair. And they ruined it.
But it was that
too
wig.
Expensive. It's too
that
expensive.
That wig was terrible.
Bullshit. Yeah, the wig was the worst. It was disgusting to look at. But, like, I know we have the money for a fucking expensive wig.
No, they needed all of it to shoot the first episode in IMAX. There was their budget.
Which we went and saw.
And, like, I love Anson Mount. I love that guy. He's awesome. It's Captain Pike, also Black Bolt. I loved it. Like, but
oh yeah,
I like Black Bolt a lot. Like his whole relationship with Medusa is just like such an interesting perspective to me. Like, yeah, I like him a lot. I think there should be more of him. So I wish they didn't ruin it.
But yeah, hey, if you want more talk like that, you can tune in hopefully next week to the Nerd Dome podcast, and we could talk some more about that. That'd be awesome. But
we talk more about Blackagar Boltagon.
Yes,
because his real name is way better than Black Bolt. Blackagar Boltagon.
Yes, the best.
I was trying to properly say Mjolnir to my coworker this week.
Mew Mew.
Yeah, Mew Mew.
Mjolnir, because I keep hearing it everywhere. Yep. And it's funny because I wear a necklace that I have, and I'm like, they're like, oh, that's you know, that one thing. And I'm like,
said, yeah, it's
a
Mew Mew.
You say it? It's a Mew Mew.
It's a Mew Mew.
Exactly that. Mm.
All right, that's all the show I got. You guys have anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
I'm good.
No.
What did the Thundercats say? Can we say that?
Oh.
They do. They just say ho.
Oh. I guess, Jamie,
Jamie, you have anything?
Nah, we just need Panda Pat to game harder.
No! No! Right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ho!
Ho!